You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey everyone and welcome. First, you might notice some things. A, my voice is back, and B, we're using a better microphone this time around, which is, you know, fantastic. So with that in mind, let's talk about this movie. It's stupid fun, and I forgot it immediately after watching it. In fact, I had to struggle to remember what we're going to talk about, so that's great. It's Deep Rising. It's fun. You'll enjoy it. It's like a heist movie, and then monsters show up, and then it rips off a bunch of stuff. So, I guess enjoy? Anyway, thanks for listening. I'm doing another Halloween show. At the beginning of the month, I performed with Cineprov, and we did Monsterama, where we did The Fiend. And now we're doing Halloween 6, The Revenge of the Curse of the Something of Michael Myers. Anyway, Paul Rudd is in it as Paul Steven Rudd, so I guess if Clueless hadn't worked out, he would have gone with Paul Steven Rudd instead. It's a weird movie, although Donald Pleasance is back and died when they needed to do reshoots. So the movie just kind of ends, and they thank Donald Pleasance for his time in the end credits. So I hope to see you on November 1st at Cineprov. So, you know, and I also want to just push. We are nearing the end of, you know, 2018, and I just hope that you guys like us and comment. Please give us reviews on iTunes, because at this point we're actually doing pretty well, but the way you add new people when you have, you know, tens of thousands of downloads is to make sure you get those reviews. So please, thanks, guys. It really does make a lot of difference, and I do really appreciate it.
Where are those transmissions you intercepted, including those of the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast? I need my weekly dose of sci-fi news with movie and TV reviews and commentary.
We intercepted no transmissions! This is a consular ship!
If this is a consular ship, where is the ambassador?
Sorry, I was indisposed.
I will give it a moment to air out, if you know what I mean.
Who needs the ambassador? I thought I heard someone call out for me. What in the bloody hell did you do to Ramus? Speak up! Which one of those chest buttons calls your supervisor, you imbecile?
Geez, mister. Honestly, he was, like that when we got here, right, fellas?
Mister, I am an ambassador.
Let me see your identification.
Shut it, Bob. You are as clumsy as you are stupid. He doesn't have to show you your ID.
We don't need to see his identification.
You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Libsyn.com, and Stitcher Radio. The Monster Sci-Fi Show is part of the ESO Network. It's sci-fi from a certain point of view.
Welcome to My Happy Defender Childhood. This week we're talking 1998's Deep Rising. Of course. 1998's Deep Rising, I don't know. It's just something. I have no joke here, but we'll go ahead. Matt, this is your movie.
Yes, this is the movie proposed by Matthew W. Quinn. It's a movie about a tentacle monster attacking a cruise ship.
Okay, good. On panel we have Matt, we have
Lauren,
and
Steve-O.
And
Emily.
Okay, good. So, Matt, this is the end of our Monster Movie Month. This was your Monster Movie Month, as selected by Matt's Monster Moviness. Matt, what do you got for us? What is this?
Okay, my folks were real conservative what R movies I was and was not allowed to see, but there was a website called screenit.com that kind of broke down what cursing and violence and whatnot there was. So I was allowed to see Deep Rising with my buddy David and his mom. We were probably about 14, so this is late 8th grade. And it was a January movie, so you know that was a bad sign. Well, I didn't know it at the time. But I thought it was really good, and I still think it's pretty entertaining. I might just find some used DVD and buy it, because...
Can you break this down for us, Matt? What did this process do? Was it like a checklist you had to print out and present it to your folks?
Oh right, was it to like be able to see our movie.
Was it like Christian-y websites? No, it like wasn't. No blasphemy.
No, it wasn't, it wasn't a religious website at all. It also had stuff about smoking.
Ooh. So, Matt, no. Matt, it's funny you say that. And first of all, I'm really mad at you for making me see this stupid movie anyway. But anyway... but I was reading up on this and researching, and the director was trying so hard to get this a PG-13 rating.
Yes.
He tried so hard, but they had a little too much cussing and a little too much violence. But he tried several things to get it PG-13, actually. So it's funny you say that.
I think it's funny that it's produced by Calamari Productions.
I love it. And I also, when I was a teenager, gave a PowerPoint presentation to my parents so I could see our movies. I'm not kidding. I did a whole PowerPoint presentation.
And which movie were you trying to get them to see?
Matt Damon and Ben Affleck.
Good Will Hunting. Ooh, that's
yes.
a good movie.
That sounds
yes.
like the kind of movie my parents would let me see because it's more thoughtful yeah. and classy and not the monster trash I
okay,
to see.
Okay, so they let you see this movie? Why?
Yeah, why? Yeah, what convinced him? What was the PowerPoint? What slide at which point they let you do it?
No, I didn't have a PowerPoint presentation.
This sound is processed by Stereo Tool.
Let's be fair.
Go to stereotool.com.
If the only movie you saw was Good Will Hunting, you'd have been a very different kind of author. Right? Because this is the kind of stuff you write. This is...
Is this what started your monster creature obsession?
The Halo. My monster creature obsession started out when I was probably about 4 or 5 and wanted to see Gremlins 2 and Arachnophobia.
Okay!
Gremlins 2 with Hulk Hogan. Oh, get those gremlins off of me.
And so I've been into this crap for probably longer than most of this audience has been alive.
I think you overestimate our audience. We don't have any.
Come on, be an optimist.
We do. We have 27,000 of you out there, so thank you.
27,000 of you hopefully are all reading my fiction.
I guess you would know that, not us, huh?
I was thinking, hence hopefully. Because all you need are 1,000 true fans. All
right, Matt, will you give us a synopsis of this terrible, terrible movie?
Terribly awesome movie.
All right, Steve, how about this? Steve, why don't you give us the plot? Or Lauren, Lauren, you have notes.
No.
You took notes?
I took notes,
yes,
too.
Yes, I always do.
Because you have to write your review.
Yeah.
Steve, do you have a plot synopsis?
I can wing a plot synopsis.
Do it, do it. Do it, boy.
Yeah. So this movie starts off, and we get this kind of... You get this silly little like background story about near the Himalayas, there's really deep water, and no one knows what the hell's down there. So this is sort of like a Bermuda Triangle type description, right? Boats arrive, and the communication is lost, and they're gone forever. So immediately we know, of course, there's something.
Something's going down.
Something's deep in the ocean. We don't want to know about it.
The director thought he would tell and not show.
But then you have these great bottom of the ocean graveyard with those really spooky screaming sounds a thing makes.
Which we never really get anything out of that experience, but we'll get there.
The monster does not scream on the ship, for example.
Right.
Okay,
so cut to Treat William and his ragtag team of just like... think like a really shitty version of Firefly. Like, they're just in this hobbled together boat speeding across the water. We don't really know where they're going, but they're on a job, right?
If the cash is there, we do not care.
Yeah, if the cash is there, they don't care. And then there's like some haphazard cuts, and we cut to this big cruise liner, and it's this big new party boat that's just been introduced.
The Argonautica.
The Argonautica?
Yeah, luxury cruise. Who wants to go with me?
This gives you like a Bioshock sort of feel.
It feels more like a video game.
A little bit.
Yeah. And then the God Killer guns show up, and they're just like, they shoot 1,000,000 rounds a minute. Like, and they never run out of ammunition.
They're so good.
Yeah, the cast of crazy rich Asians, a bunch of oil sheiks, various groupie types, and a bunch of British people who are all about to become lunch.
There's so many stereotypes here, but we've all come together on one of two boats.
I was talking about the passengers.
mostly condensed to Treat's boat. Did they give this boat a name?
It's just Argonautica.
No, his
no,
boat.
No, Argonautica is the cruise ship.
Argonautica is the party boat.
It looks like...
And it's on its maiden voyage.
It is on its maiden voyage. And they're partying hard.
Scott Fakula's boat looks like... looks like something out of Batman and Robin, doesn't it?
It's just like a bad prop.
It is! Everything in this is a bad prop!
The entire boat is just a bad prop and a bad plot device, but... Okay, so this boat is packed full of mercenaries. It's packed full of Treat's, like, weird group...
Crew, yeah.
There's no description.
Right.
It's like his random smorgasbord of friends who's, like, out to make a buck by transporting mercenaries around. So, Treat's, what's his name? Finnegan, Captain Finnegan, his engineer, his nerd friend, goes poking around and finds out, okay, we're doing this job for these mercenaries. Turns out they've got a bunch of missiles, okay? So he gets the shit kicked out of him, and then there's this whole confrontation about the missiles, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
We cut back to the cruise ship.
Well, the radar goes off the wire, which makes them go, which is why they're in that area, right? Yeah.
None of this
kinda.
None of this is really important.
Yeah.
What's really important is they're on an intercept course for this cruise ship because they're going to presumably try and sink it. What they don't know is that it's already being sunk by ?
Dun dun dun.
All we know is that the party boat has been rammed by something big in the ocean, right?
Yeah, someone has sabotaged everything except the one working sonar that can detect the giant thing coming directly from underwater.
That's right.
And none of the passengers are on the ship when they...
No, the passengers are all on the ship when the party boat gets rammed.
Now, right, but when the mercenaries get on...
This sound is processed by Stereo Tool.
So we find
go to stereotool.com.
The party ship has been sabotaged. Our little boat full of mercenaries and bombs is going to, hijack this boat. Mm-hmm. That's all we really know so far.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where the opening ends, and the movie actually sort of starts, if you can call it that.
I was going to say, if you can call it that, because then there's another, 20, 30 minutes.
Well, there's your first... that's the movie's first problem, right? Because it literally could have just been monster shows up on boat, and their guns on... this is security guards who are trying to save the day, and they're dying. This whole extra plot about money laundering and insurance fraud.
Yeah.
I mean, it's setting up the trope of a horror movie where everyone has to be a bad guy who dies, right? And so, the captain has to be an asshole who's trying to make insurance fraud. But this movie could be a tight 73 minutes, but then they have to explain what fraud is.
They have to explain what fraud is. They have to, pretend they're going to do some character development, and then they just throw that...
But they don't!
They don't do any of that. They're just like, character development, I'm going to develop you into a pile of blood.
And some of the characters were so annoying, I wanted them killed. Yeah. Like the scratchy voice guy, and the... Oh my god, I'm
you
just
really
like,
hated Joey, don't you?
Oh, I hate Joey.
Worst. I want him to die first.
And of course,
well, the Mummy, he died last.
Well, because he's clearly one of the director's friends. He survives all these movies. But here's the thing. If he dies, Kevin O'Connor is his name. If he dies, there's more tension because then the boat can't start. Then they can't get away. He's the tech guy, right?
Spoilers. He does not... So he's touted as the engineer. This is actually how they get him out of getting his ass beat in the beginning, right? Finnegan comes down, he goes, we're not going anywhere without my engineer. And he starts pointing his little crossbow at people, whatever the hell it was.
The spear gun.
His spear gun. But Finnegan's engineer doesn't fix shit. This dude
no,
doesn't do anything.
He doesn't do anything. He literally is useless.
He just complains.
He complains, which is why he should die. Complaining is a death-worthy trespass.
There's no complaining out in the open seas, boy.
Also, because there's not enough bullshit happening, Famke Janssen is in this movie.
Yeah.
Xenia Onatopp from GoldenEye, and apparently it was going to be Claire Forlani, who plays what's-her-name from Mallrats. And then she walked away because of arguments with the director. So we have a nothing actress being replaced with someone who was in the biggest movie of 1995 and now whose career is dead.
Yeah,
she's on X-Men.
She was also Jean Grey at X-Men.
She's on X-Men.
In 3 years.
Yeah.
This is before it. So she becomes someone, but at the time, she wasn't anyone.
Right, true.
This movie cost $45 million.
Oh,
also,
my God.
Which means, A, it lost two-thirds of its money. But B... CGI must have been expensive because they didn't get anyone for this movie.
There were like a couple of cool parts though, like almost really cool parts. Do you remember when Cobra Commander and Finnegan are like, there's a corridor, and this is the moment where like
the tin can moment
yeah. where they haven't had any trust yet in the movie. Finally, Cobra Commander hands Finnegan a gun. He's like, okay, shit's real. I know you're not part of it. And like the corridor is starting to like get torn apart, and you think it's gonna like just get ripped apart, and then you're gonna finally see the monster, and then someone makes a shitty joke and they leave again. And you're like, damn it! And they just shot bullets down a hallway, well, and nothing happened.
That's what I was getting at with the extra 20-30 minutes. Like, I get that you wanna build suspense and not show the entire creature right away and show bits and pieces and all that, but like, come on, seriously?
Well, but like, here's the thing. Let's say you do want the heavy military, like army, like stuff. Then make it be the Coast Guard who shows up to figure it out. Like, you know, like, so there's a reason they have military. Like, you don't need this plot. You cut out the plot. Like, Famke Janssen's character is supposed to be like a pickpocket.
Yeah.
Like, who gives a shit? Just get to the killing. Like, also, they're like these weird fangly tentacle things that we see eventually. More people should be being picked off randomly, but it just kind of happens in chunks. Like,
that's the other thing that I was like, what's going on? Because they don't even freaking show the creature until 50 minutes in. Like, you're well 50 minutes in until you actually see, you see people going underwater and you see blood being splattered and stuff like that, but you don't actually see the creature until like 50 minutes in.
Well, the Jaws principle.
Yes, but Jaws you see constantly. Right? Like, there's a murder in the first 5 minutes that you see. It's very vivid. Like, there's a woman swimming at night, and it's kind of sexy. She's, like, wearing a bikini, and then, like, and then she's gone. And then within 20 minutes, more death, constantly. This, it all happens off screen.
Well, it's all about pacing, right?
Right.
That's the difference. This movie just didn't pace it that well.
That's the thing that frustrates me, because the movie has large swaths, maybe 20-30 minutes where nothing happens, and this movie should be constant. Like, again, you make it tighter, it's scarier, like, because there's a Jason Voorhees aspect of it could be, or second Alien, it's Aliens movie, mm-hmm. where like it's in the pipes, it's above you, it's around you, you don't know where it is, and that's how you get away with it being very cheap in that aspect. Like, because all you need is someone with a hammer hitting the side of of the elevator going dunk, and like like, and assholes freaking out somewhere. Joey.
Yeah, this is around the same time as Alien, Anaconda, Virus.
This feels all those. Like Anaconda.
So I don't know if it was like building around that or trying to, but just this didn't work as well.
It did not. And it did have about the same level of cast as Anaconda did too. Anaconda, same exact budget the year before. We're on to something.
The late 90s B monster epic.
So which is better, Anaconda or this?
Anaconda, hands down. Okay, so hands down.
Here's the thing.
You even have the digestion thing.
You do.
That's what I'm saying.
But here's the thing. Like, this movie presented this kind of slightly interesting fiction and slightly interesting monster. But then, like, I feel like the execution just wasn't, like, they had a couple of creepy parts, but, like, Anaconda didn't take itself too seriously. So, for me,
I know,
it
right.
was like, yeah, the dude's getting eaten. Obviously, he's getting eaten. Who else is going to get eaten? You know?
No, it's like, not eaten. Drank.
Anaconda.
They like, drink you. They drink you alive.
It's a monster that you understand, right? You're still scared of it. You don't know how it's going to get resolved, but you understand what a giant shark and a giant snake are. Like, this movie would have been cooler if we knew what the hell was happening. Do you remember, like, one of the first scenes where, like, right after the boat gets rammed, that girl, like, runs into the bathroom and panics, and then yeah. she just, like, does yeah. she...
It is cliche. You don't go to the bathroom. You're gonna get killed in the bathroom, oh, man. Don't go. Yes. Everyone knows that in a horror movie. You don't go to the freaking bathroom. You're gonna die.
That's literally the Jurassic Park movement, right? The lawyer runs to the bathroom and just she gets bitten from below. This is so silly.
Are the monsters in the toilets? What's happening in this movie? So someone mentioned the ghost thing. There's a scene where, like, they're getting attacked by the floors, basically. Like, obviously tentacles are sweeping the floors and things are moving. I actually thought, I didn't know what this movie was about until then, and I actually was like, oh my god. Like, wouldn't it be cool if the boat were possessed? Like, is that what kind of movie this is?
You really want this to be Event Horizon, don't you?
It actually felt like a Red Horizon, which might have been the year before as well. Let's see. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah, but I... Okay, so, like, there's nothing to talk about.
Can we complain about chamber dramas with water for a minute? God damn it, there's so many of them.
And, hey, at least... Like this? At least something like that happens in this one. Most of them are like submarines are approaching.
Yeah.
So submarines.
We did Deep Blue Sea not too long ago. Mm-hmm.
And what did you think of that?
There's so many parallels though. There's just like people are just running from flooded, like running from water in already flooded corridors. It just doesn't feel very scary.
I'm not going to argue with you. I mean, at least those jokes worked where Ice-T or Ice Cube was like, yeah, man. So I'm going to talk about how to make a perfect omelet. And she's like, what the
hell? This one, it's they get on the ship and they're like, looks like somebody had themselves one hell of a shindig.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
I wrote, and then the creature looks at Treat Williams and goes, what are you looking at?
Oh, and that's
that was one goddamn bar mitzvah.
Right.
That one bothered me so much too, because you know, like obviously they were setting up that crappy joke, right? But
right.
The amount of time that it took for him to get scooped up by this creature and for the creature to, like, you know, roar at him and you think he's going to get eaten. There was, like, so much downtime between the creature looking at him and him saying, what are you looking at?
Well, you had to have time for, that's not something you see every day.
No, I want to ask it. Do they have a quota for how many times someone says, what the hell is that? Like, I'm serious. I wrote this down. They say it 16 times. To me, that just seems excessive. I don't know.
I don't know. Find the script online somewhere, copy it into Word, and do a search.
They did. Yeah. She counted it.
Yeah.
You can count it when you hear it.
So, I'm just asking, was there a quota?
They had time to fill.
I guess.
One of my favorites was the elevator.
Well, when you're paying the script writer per word, you could just copy and paste.
You have to get them in.
The elevator scene.
The elevator scene is the best!
So the elevator scene is like 5 minutes of like tension and just shaking elevators.
Got
and, like,
a really bad feeling about this.
What got me is when the elevator music came in. I got so mad. I was like, this whole scene's been to make that shitty joke, isn't it?
And then O'Connor goes, and they're like, what is that? And O'Connor goes, girl from Ipanema. And you're just like, kill him. Let him die first. Shoot him. Maybe he'll attract like a shark. Just bring the water.
Yeah, speaking of shooting, nobody has any trigger discipline in this movie. I'm surprised they didn't kill each other by the time it was done.
They don't have any bullets. Like, when bullets don't matter.
Unlimited ammo.
When bullets matter. Famke Jansen at one point has a six shooter that she fires 12 times. She just keeps firing.
The wavery scene? Like, they shot that thing so many times.
It was a shotgun! A double barrel shotgun! Yeah. You can't make them automatic!
Slugs, and we shot 90. Like, it was fun.
But, I mean, okay, but we just have to talk about, from a film perspective, that elevator scene, because it's like a closed over farce. Like, you expect it to be a comedic scene, because she's trying to get away by going down, like, going up. And the elevator goes down, right? And then a bunch of people shove on. And then they try to go up, and it goes back down again. And then more people come on. And they're like, I'm trying to tell you there's a monster! And then the monster appears and tap dances or something. It's so silly! I started laughing!
Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime gal.
Effectively!
That's exactly what it was. But there was so much of that. Like, I wanted to like the movie. If they really embraced the creepiness of it and they tried to make it a really scary movie, that would have been really, like,
right.
I think it would actually have been much more interesting. But it was just Doom before Doom and what.
Yeah. Hey, there's no behind the gun shots.
I would say
half the movie.
Would this be a better movie if the last 20 minutes were that scene from Doom? Where they're just like, Finnegan's in first person now, and he found a second shotgun.
Well, I just wish they could decide if, like, he was going to be an effective leader or not. Like, because, like, at the end, he turns into the last girl of a Jason movie where he barely gets by. But, like, for a bunch of, like, I wanted a Ripley, man. I wanted them to, like, actually face off and destroy the monster other than just hit the explode button. Like,
they hit the explode button.
Like, it's like Duke Nukem or Descent. Like, there's just, like, there just happens to be a nuclear core that could explode. Like,
but instead, they ride a jet ski through the cruise ship, which is actually really cool. I want to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to make that happen. So they ride it. They ride a jet ski through the cruise ship with his romantic interest. I had to write her name down, Trillian, and they just happen to get out of the ship just right before it explodes.
Hey, this is the same guy who did The Mummy and directed The Mummy ride at Universal Studios. Like, that's what it feels like, right? It just feels exactly like if you made a Jaws, like, ride.
I think you're starting to like it. You like it.
Matt, I'll give you this. What I did like about it is some of the cinematography, for real. And some of the shots are cool. I especially like the shots that are from the creature's point of view. I like that.
I think some of the random deaths were cool, but besides that, yeah.
It has some good sound editing, like when they squish through the people's bodies in the corridor and the alien screaming sounds. You hear it long before you see it, and that was really well done.
I kind of dug some of the deaths for no reason. Like,
yeah.
First of all, the monster is a very efficient killing machine. We just don't see much of it. But we do get some weird ones. Like, the captain, the first mate, and some people that die immediately are hiding in a safe room, which is like a safe, which Trillian is trying to hack into because, again, she's a thief and figured there's a room filled with jewelry, apparently. They open the door, and one of the henchmen, Jimin Hansu, gets an axe to the face.
Yes.
Which happens out of nowhere, but is kind of great.
I like the one where he's like, I'm out of here, and then he dives into the water and gets taken from the monster.
Yeah.
Immediately. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I'm out of here. And then dies in the water.
Did you see his dive?
Yeah.
Belly flopped into the water.
It's great.
And then immediately it's taken out.
Yeah.
Like, what did you think was going to happen, dude? Don't go in the water.
He was prepared with a grenade. He was on a grenade, right?
Right.
He got pulled back and was like...
Wes Studi, who's the bad guy you keep referring to, he's a Native American actor, is the best. His death is amazing because even he wants Kevin O'Connor to die, Joey to die. So he uses a bullet to try to shoot him as he limps away, but he's being literally digested. This is your Anaconda scene. This is your...
They want to have a character moment, so the thing is swallowing him very slowly when before it just snarfs up people immediately.
Mm-hmm. Well, what, is what, a torture of the guy?
Well, and that part was really well done, too, because it's kind of, you know, in the back of your mind, you're pretty sure that that's what's going on, but they kind of trick you for a minute because it's like, why is he not screaming? Why, you know, it's not quick like it normally is, and then... I don't know, that part was just really cool. That was well done. I also liked how creepy it was that, you know, at first when they show up to the ship, there's nobody. What happened to this entire crew? And then, you know, back to the tin can scene, how they're having to wade through all the disintegrated or partially disintegrated bodies in that room where there's like hundreds of them.
And you can still hear the screaming.
Yeah, that part was really well done and very creepy. I liked it.
As an aside, one of the deaths that we don't see is Una Demon's character, Damon's character. She's the, Japanese woman who's fixing the ship.
Mm-hmm.
One of the henchmen just refers to as Muscle Lady, which
chick
is something.
With the muscles.
But she apparently just walked off this set, and they had to use her footage, so they kept it. But this year, she's in like six other movies, so she's just like, I don't have time for this, and just leaves. She made the right call. This is the same year she was in The Truman Show and Deep Impact and Gattaca. So
nice.
All of them are better movies. And so she's like, you know what? I'm good.
Yeah.
Because at one point she's looking at the hole in the side of the ship. She's gone.
She's just a take-me-away monster.
I think it was the day they filmed with that giant corpse that floats up and gives us a weird jump scare. And she's like, you know what? If this is the rest of my part, I'm gone.
Yeah.
Bye. See ya. She made the right call.
Yeah.
I'll be Chloe in The Truman Show. I'm good.
Very nice career decision.
No one else really has interesting deaths. Like I said, people keep not dying. Anthony Heald, the director, Simon Canton. Or the captain.
The captain.
He's not the captain. He's the owner of the boat. The captain is the British guy who knocks him around and he finds out it's an insurance fraud scheme.
Right. Okay.
The captain is the only scumbag that's not dead. Like after the first 5 minutes of this film,
he's the only one who's not a scumbag.
No, not the captain.
No,
you mean the owner?
No, the captain. No,
the Canton. British guy with a mustache.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he deserves to die too. I'm fine with him being eaten in the vagina hole thing that opens up in the catwalk.
Yeah.
That was a good scene.
That But this is one of those movies where you get to a point where you just don't care about the characters anymore. And it's like, yeah, who's going to die next? Is it going to be cool? That's fine.
They've had too many characters.
Yeah.
They did.
They did. You're right.
Yeah.
They killed off like 5 characters in 5 minutes because it was just like, there's just too damn many of you.
Too many with no character development at all. We're
paying too many actors right now. Can we...
Well, and then, like, why does the owner turn evil? The ship's going to sink. The ship's destroyed. Why kill people? Like, it doesn't make... None of this makes sense. None of his motivations make sense.
I think he wanted to eliminate witnesses.
To what? A monster attack?
That he'd confessed to that the whole thing was an insurance scam.
Ooh. It doesn't matter if it's an insurance scam if monsters actually eat your ship. It just is a happy accident.
I would like to see that court case. That would make a much better film.
Oh my god, the chamber draw? Like, if it was told like Europa Report, where it's just like someone's trying to get to the bottom of this.
So you're saying there were monsters.
If Mulder and Scully showed up at the end. Right. I don't know, Mulder. It looks like this could have been done by a typhoon. But Scully, look at all this blood. I don't know, Mulder. I've seen a lot of blood in my time. I need to get hobbies. Like, that's kind of it.
Pink and spongy.
Squishy, squishy.
I thought that was just like bad props until they explained, like, oh no, it's actually digested corpses. That's why it's like, it's not blood, it's kind of like pink.
We couldn't afford real corpses. Come on, with an excuse. I thought it was. This gives us to the best scene. One of the henchmen gets swallowed, but they shoot the monster in the gut when you see a hand pressing out of it.
That was cool.
And then he gets spat up alive and wanders around.
Yeah.
Screaming.
Half digested.
Like half his head melted off.
Yep.
This is the scene
that... But he can still scream.
This is the scene that got him the mummy.
Yeah. Because
that's what they do with the mummy when Imhotep's half resurrected. Right? Like, that's the scene. Because it's shot for shot Imhotep. Which is great. I mean, it's still a good scene. It's creepy. That was the one jump scare that was effective to me.
Well, and you know that that's the one takeaway from this movie. They went, goddamn, like, this movie sucked, but... That scene was cool, and we're putting it in the next one.
Yeah.
And it still looked pretty decent, too.
That's the sizzle. Like, that's the sizzle scene.
Yeah, well, Stephen Summers is laughing all the way to the bank, right? So he's laughing at us at the bank. Who cares? Because his mummy series has made, like, what, billions of dollars, so.
Hey, I mean, right, like, the mummy must have already been filming when this was in post-production, and so he's fine. Don't worry about him. The production company went out of business and lost everything, but he's fine.
So I didn't watch the trailer for this film.
I didn't either.
Matt, I'm guessing you've seen it.
The trailer probably long ago.
What drew you... Okay, so because after we've seen this, I feel like there's not a lot from this film that you can show in a trailer without exposing the monster.
I remember seeing the monster in the trailer.
Really?
Okay. Pretty sure, because that's what got me interested in it, was a monster movie. I like monster movies.
Oh my. I have some great news.
Share with us your great news.
So the months, so the end, they land on an island.
Yeah.
Treat and Joey and Famke Janssen land on this island, and they're like, oh, thank God, we almost got to make out, but then the asshole had to show up, right?
I could just walk away for a bit, you know?
And then they zoom out, and you hear a roar, right? And all of a sudden the woods, and they're like, and so some...
he goes... This place looks nice enough. Rawr, and then you hear the monster.
And the last line of the movie.
I was like, no, I thought we were done.
Last line of the movie. Now what?
Yeah.
It's a you're not going to believe this, right? Like there's another monster.
Right.
The island that the survivors become stranded on at the end of the film is more than just a simple nod to Skull Island and King Kong. It was actually intended to be a lead-in to the King Kong reboot, which was to be directed by Stephen Summers.
Oh.
In the 90s, he had an idea for a modern-day reboot, and it got stuck in development hell after Godzilla did so poorly. So, had Godzilla done well, this would have been the prequel to King Kong.
treat Williams versus King Kong?
Makes perfect sense, man.
Oh my god, can you imagine that garbage?
You just fly a shambly helicopter around, like...
The most jangly little helicopter held together with, like, weird bolts. Oh my goodness!
So, I remember Treat Williams from... Did anyone ever watch Everwood? Everyone? Yes. Anybody?
Yeah, wasn't he the doctor?
He was the dad, yeah. He was the doctor. So, and he's like, plays a super sweet, kind doctor dad on Everwood, so that's really what I knew him from. So in this movie, I was like, what is he doing?
He does not.
It was neat to see him in a different light like that.
He does not have the charisma to be like a sex symbol action hero type. It should have been like Bruce Campbell, like, you know, just someone with like someone like, because this is a B movie. It's not going to be a great movie, but like if you have someone with some charisma, at least it makes sense. But like, you're right, he needs to be a dad. Now that he's probably in his late 50s, like the senator type, like he's just like, because he's just a white guy, man. Like he has no charm or charisma. He's a pleasant man.
He just sits around getting more and more exasperated with everything that goes wrong.
See here, this is perfect. He was a character in White Collar. That's who he is. He's a white guy.
Can we cast Samuel Jackson in this bad boy?
Oh my god.
Snakes on a Plane. This is basically that movie.
Right? Well, and someone dies on the turlet.
Yeah.
But they get it right. Like, the second teens start making out, they get attacked by snakes. Like, you just need... We don't see it. Like, there's 30 seconds of revelry and, like, weird Japanese drumming happening, and then all of a sudden, like, everyone's dead.
Everyone
is dead. You're not one of them, are you? Oh, God. Anyway, Treat Williams is in a movie called Drunk Parents, so there.
There you go.
Whatever. Are there any thoughts? We've talked on this long enough, I think. Let's give our final judgments. We'll just go this way.
Sure. I'm all for chamber dramas. I really like the style. The Thing is my favorite movie. But the key to it is all about pacing, like I said earlier. And this movie just does not get the pacing right.
Good. Steve?
That's all I have.
I thought it was a steaming, interesting pile of interesting garbage. Like, it's one of those movies that, like, you'd write a fan fiction about and it'd be more interesting than the movie. Like, there are some scenes that are cool.
There was fan fiction on this, sorry. I just wanted to add you. Yes.
Oh, yeah, I did
research, kind of yeah.
Like, totally.
It's called Deep Rising 2, but yeah.
I am now vaguely interested.
There's fan fiction.
Emphasis on the rising.
Yes. yes.
So yeah.
So that's why he was getting eaten so slowly. There was something else going on.
This one wasn't rising on my charts. So here's the thing. Like YouTube, like the three scenes that are interesting, like especially where Hanover dies. Beyond that, it just doesn't matter. It's a shoot 'em up with tentacle monsters and stuff like. It had some moments that were cool, but it's whatever. This movie's all whatever.
Well, and just really quick, you kind of have to get it on YouTube because it's out of print.
Yeah, totally.
You can order it on YouTube for $2.99, and you can get various DVDs. There's a 20th anniversary DVD this year.
A Blu-ray that's only released with another movie.
I saw it on Amazon. I was vaguely considering getting it.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll see if I can find it, but it doesn't look like it. Let's see. I wonder if it's like a third-party company that gets it.
It's got the monster on the cover, so I mean, spoilers. The full monster with the big mouth, not the tentacles.
Fair enough.
Watch Anaconda instead, really.
Yeah, this is
And then watch the trailer for this and just substitute the Anaconda for this tentacle monster. It's the same movie.
Lauren?
So, I love action movies. I really do, but this was just terrible. It was just awful, really bad. I basically liked just making fun of it. I liked the terrible dialogue and the terrible deaths, but yeah, it's pretty much unwatchable, and I felt like the same thing, not much happened. Like I mentioned earlier, the only things I really kind of thought were cool was some of the cinematography and some of the shots from the creature's point of view are cool, but yeah, totally do not want to ever watch it again.
Very good. Matt, what do you think?
I still liked it. I still thought it was entertaining. I liked all those awful one-liners. I am vaguely considered buying the DVD.
Very nice.
Considering one of the movies I remember doing was Dog Soldiers, where I was so disappointed I ended up selling the DVD after
it. I liked Dog Soldiers.
I think I did too.
Well, Dog Soldiers had a great soundtrack and great special effects. Just a third of the movie looked like it was filmed in the 70s. This one is just... It's a tentacle monster on a cruise ship, a bunch of dudes with guns with no trigger discipline trying to fight it. And it's fun.
You and your trigger discipline.
I'm surprised they didn't kill each other by the time they were done.
I'm surprised they didn't kill each other. There were so many scenes where they just...
Famke Jensen nearly kills Treat Williams at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So Matt's looking over my shoulder. Movies... So apparently they did release a 20th anniversary of this. An independent studio bought the rights because no one wanted the rights, apparently. But sponsored products related to this film, and it's all about how to give each other deep tissue massages. It's massaging.
Okay.
I have no answer to the question you're about to ask.
You've read the fan fiction, you guys.
Yeah.
With all those tentacles, that's maybe how it gets a real job.
Life after Deep Rising.
Real job.
So
the monster is working at a massage parlor somewhere.
Let me offer you one more twist that I think could have made this movie better. If the boat owner, we've agreed he's the owner. Right?
Yeah, Simon.
If you were working for the tentacle monsters.
Yes! If you knew the tentacle monster existed.
And he was just delivering a whole boat full of people for it to eat.
If it's Cthulhu. If he's like some kind of.
That's a really dark ending.
If he's like. It's like Cthulhu and he's some kind of cult leader, you know, feeding people to it.
Yeah.
That would have actually probably saved the movie.
That would have been. Like, if he went totally crazy.
Totally.
Like. Yeah, girl.
If it made it really dark, it would have actually been, like, a lot more interesting.
So, I think I'm actually closer to Matt than the rest of you. I thought this was so stupid. It was fun. Like, this is not, like, a movie to get spooked. There's nothing scary about it. But this is kind of one where you just have a drink and you're just like, this is the dumbest thing. I kind of, because, like, the second you're like... Dude, there's blood everywhere. I'm like, ooh, everyone's just dead. And they, like, literally at one point we see one of the, like, the henchmen die, and they just explode. Like, there's just spatter of blood. Mm-hmm. It's like you're just filled with blood. Oh, yeah. It's kind of the best.
Well, there's a gallon and a quart of blood in the human body.
Don't justify this. It's stupid. Like,
don't
like, in fact, every time you talked about it making logical sense, it made it less fun to me. Like, this movie is... No, I'm honest. Like, this movie is fun because it's the dumbest. Like, if all of a sudden it turned out that the monster could speak English, like, better movie.
I thought it was going to
come. Because at the end...
A long pause.
They literally come upon it like it's a bad guy at the end of Ocarina of Time. What's the one with the water temple monster, right? Because it's got the big bulbousy head and the tentacles flailing around it. Like, and they're like... We're not prepared for this, and then just leave the room. That's not how it works.
Well, one of the tentacles catches Treat Williams, holds him up. Another tentacle just smacks him across the face for good measure, and then it holds it up to its main head and it's kind of looking at him like, "Oh, you're the one who's causing me all this problem."
It's stupid.
Imagine if you're trying to kill an anthill and all the ants have machine guns, they blow all your fingers off, and all of a sudden you're gonna really want to find out what the hell's going on here with those ants.
I mean,
and then
I shoot
in the face.
I guess. Who cares? It's stupid. Like, just let it be dumb. This is... It's fine. Fine. Anyway, we're out of time. So, this is the end of our Monster Month. Make sure to tag us on the wall. We've got some good ones for monster movies coming up that we might do in our Listener Request Month come spring. Now, for those of you who are on the Facebook page or following us on Twitter, next month, being November... we are doing a series, and after you guys voted, the series chosen overwhelmingly with over 50% of the vote is Indiana Jones.
Woohoo!
So with, hundreds of you voted, actually. So starting on the first Thursday of November, we will do the four Indiana Jones movies in order, and then reward ourselves with something fun the last week because there's five Thursdays, so we'll actually get to watch an enjoyable movie rather after Indiana Jones 4. So tune in next week and every future week as we put another piece of our past on trial.
Thanks. And come see me, guys, if you can, if you're in the Norcross area. I'm doing a Halloween show, Lawless Spirits, the weekend before Halloween, October 26th to 28th. Come see us.
Good. And on, I guess, November 1st, I'll be doing Cineprop, where we'll be doing Halloween 6. So stay tuned. Yeah.
And don't forget The Thing in the Woods, my teen horror novel. You thought you'd escape me mentioning it this time, didn't you? Tentacle monsters.
And don't forget, booyah.
So many, so many phalluses.
Myopia Defender Childhood is hosted by Nick Hoffman, edited by Candace Burns, and executive produced by Nick Hoffman and Candace Burns. It is produced by Daniel Suttis, Matthew Quinn, and Thomas Herman. We are a proud member of the ESO Network and a product of Feel Better Podcasting. Our theme is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod. Find it at incomptech.com. It is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3 license. And thanks.
Has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the T Public Store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.